Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Darren and Sterling both live in studio, joined by Todd Lebo. Sad days in music right now. I know you may not know Darren, the drummer of Slipknot, Joey Jordison, passed away today, and just found out the bassist of ZZ Top. You know ZZ Top. We played him and you knew them. The bassist, Dusty Hill, he passed away.
He was old, right?
72, yeah. But ZZ Top had the longest same members.
It was like almost 50 years.
Yeah, it was like
same
50
guys
years,
in the
same
band.
Guys, no rotations. That's pretty sad. So
it's pretty easy to keep three guys together as opposed to like 15 or something in a big band. But yeah,
still
bad deal. Slipknot had like nine guys in it, right?
They had nine. They had 9, 11. They had multiple folks just throughout.
Big band.
Big band.
It's like trying to keep the Commodores together forever. That's a big band, see? Now I'm talking smaller Darren's paychecks. Language, see? Smaller paychecks. Cut the pie different. It's like the Big 12, 10 pieces or 14 pieces, right?
It's like New Edition.
See? Run them through.
Oh, man. Well, that's, look, RIP to him. Sterling, I'm very upset right now.
Why are you upset?
Because when I left my house to come out to the station from coming back from St. Joe, you know, threw my workout clothes in the car and I grabbed my gallon of water out of the refrigerator. Somehow, some way between the refrigerator and my car and me getting a bite to eat, the top of my...
You lost your lid?
I lost my lid and spilled and spilled, you know, a quarter of it spilled in, you know, spilled in the back of my truck. And, you know, so I'm basically trying to drink it all now before I go work out so I can have water stored in me.
You're going to have to pee so much every single workout.
Oh, I did that. I do that at least twice at training camp every day because I drink so much water while I'm out there. And today, it was ungodly hot at 9 o'clock in the morning. I was there, Serim was there, and we were just... The shade didn't do anything for us. The heat was... It was more humidity than heat, but just the heat on top of the humidity. And there was light breeze throughout the day, so it was... It made it real unbearable, but, you know,
at
we
least
survived.
You weren't a player. I mean, think of that. That's got to be hot
on
that field.
Here's the thing. You know, I had my sweat stuff on, so I was, like, sweating underneath my... My shirt. So the only
I always have my sweat stuff on. That's just called me.
He got that. He lathered in your own grease. I will tell you one thing, though. The only person who's probably more hotter than myself had to be Patrick because he wears the sleeves on his arms and his legs. And I'm like, bro, I don't know what kind of calories he's trying to burn, but I know, you know, he got some out.
I'm going tomorrow. My first trip up this year. I'm going tomorrow.
I will see you up there tomorrow.
It's
I should just get a ride with you.
I haven't been there since 19, right? I didn't go last year. There wasn't anything. So it's been
two years. Well, obviously we were doing stuff up there every day. So, look, when you get up there, you know, again, we talked about it before, drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Drink a lot of water. You're going to need that. Bring your binoculars, which we both said we got.
Far away.
Yeah. So
it's different when we're there. You know, last year when they had their quote-unquote training camp at the Arrowhead practice facility, they only – about five media members got to be there. So now they've at least got it to where there's a 2M tier and a 3OA tier. So you can watch practice, which is what people want to do. And then not as many people get to ask questions afterwards, but whatever. I mean, I guess that's where we are right now in the NFL or in Kansas City at least. But at least we get to go watch it. Because last year we were really determined to just only see like four or five people could watch practice and everyone was just staring at their Twitter, you know?
Right.
What's going on out there? Who's doing what? Now, I think we probably get a little too excited about it. Here's who's lining up with the first team right now. Here's the second team. Things change quickly in the NFL. But it's exciting to have – they were some fans up there. There were a lot of fans members up there. Yeah,
it was a lot, and it was good. It brought a lot of energy to the practice, especially one you get a chance like as fans. And granted, Kansas City didn't have fans at the games last year, but not a full capacity. But for them to be able to be there, and you know some of the plays, some of the passes, some of the good catches,
some oohs and ahs.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. I mean, it was some good stuff out there. So it was real good, and it was good to have the fans back out there in attendance.
Tomorrow will be a different group. It'll be like regular fans can go if they've paid. Now that you can't just go up there, you have to have already paid for your ticket, because tomorrow's I think a $5 day to go. I don't know how many they'll have up there. We'll see. Probably a little bit more than today would be possible.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially if you're going from season ticket to pretty much open up
Gen
to
Pop,
anybody.
Yeah, if they want.
But, again, I don't – see, and that was the question I was wondering, like, because you kind of open it up, what is your, quote-unquote, capacity that you're trying to – that you're willing to allow to come in? Because there were fans literally in line the entire time. You know, they had certain concessions and things like that where, of course, we had a couple years ago, but, first
water.
Day. Water, food, it's like, man, it was – again, good crowd, lot to show for it, And
what do you think is going to happen here, Darren? They seem like Clark Hunt was available today. He says they're still aiming towards having 100% capacity at the stadium. All right, we're also in the midst of possibly going back to mask mandates.
I think it was. Oh well, I think
they're
Kansas City's mayor has made it mandatory already. I think it starts today Kansas City.
We haven't waited. I don't think we've got the official all the words about it yet. But so we seem to be kind of moving forward in one way and kind of coming back in another way. What are you feeling is going to be? And Clark Hunt was very careful to say this today. He's like, I learned already. You don't say something's going to happen, and because they don't have a game for it's still a month and a half, 6 weeks.
Well, but you look at preseason though.
They have one preseason game, yeah.
And so
that's
where you want to work all the kinks
out. They're not ever. I don't remember the last time there was ever a full capacity preseason game where there were 70 some thousand people there. They're normally, 50,000 people spread around. It's a lot of people, but
if anything, that's where you work to get the kinks out, is obviously the preseason. So whatever you're going to do regular season, you may try to do it early on in the preseason, try to work out whatever kinks and mistakes that you do. Steve and I had that conversation, that exact conversation, because he was telling me about the mask mandate from Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas, and our thought process to that was that fine, it's necessary. My only thing is, I think after last year with the I can't remember what the exact amount of money is that the NFL lost, but I can't see
lots.
Yeah, it's lots, but they still made a lot of money too. It's hard for me to see them pulling back off that. I mean, granted, it would have to be coming from the governor, like California, let's say for example. Yeah.
Well, the governor of Missouri is not going to say you can't have some.
Exactly, anywhere. And so it's hard.
They followed Kansas City and county health guidelines. Remember, they had to do all that stuff just to get 14,000 people at games.
Right. But again, it's just hard for me to see the mayor saying limit capacity. You might just be like, if you're vaccinated, boom, but wear your mask. I mean, I think it's going to be a thing where they're just going to encourage fans to wear their mask. Now, fans will wear a mask to get in the game. When they get there, then they'll probably just, disregard it. But it's hard for me to see any of these NFL owners, unless it's a direct declarative from Roger Goodell, where they are pulling back off the 100% because they don't want to miss out on that money.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, it kind of felt like about a month ago everything was all good, right? And then now we're starting to see these variants and stuff pop up. And I know there's people who don't trust anything that gets said anywhere, right? But just anecdotally, from people I know recently, I personally know people who have been sick, with hospitalizations and things like that with COVID, not just to mention Bill Self's positive, but he was vaccinated and he's not sick, right?
Yeah.
I know you know people who have, gone through the whole deal of it. And this isn't like last May. This is like last month. So there's certainly some more of that going around. And I think there'll probably be a few bumps in the road getting this all going together because we're already seeing all the fighting about whether to wear a mask or not. All the schools are trying to fight about what they're supposed to do. And, you know, where you can't just kind of pull in both directions. It's going to be a thing to look at here with as the Chiefs go and as the Royals continue to go. We've had fans, you know, no Major League Baseball team had a fan last year, but the Royals had fans opening day, and they got their full capacity now. No one wants to go because they don't win all their games. But Sporting KC has been full capacity. They had fans at the end of last year. The Chiefs had fans all year long last year, a small amount, but they want to be full capacity now. It's going to be something around these parts to see kind of how it goes. We're not back.
See, and I'd like to think because of the protocol stuff and the penalties that the NFL sent out last week, especially those who are unvaccinated, if you were to have an outbreak and it's because of that and, you know, what the teams could possibly be fined and players missing paychecks and stuff like that, I think it's the NFL's version of them mandating but not saying so, go get vaccinated, you know, so we can at least get through the season. I still think no matter what, they'll get through 269 games.
Oh, they got through all the games last year. They're 100% going to get through all the games this year. Because last year, nobody was vaccinated.
Correct.
During the entire football season until the very, very end, some healthcare professionals started getting vaccinated by Super Bowl time and stuff like that. But nobody was vaccinated, and they were able to navigate the season. Now, there was – remember some Tuesday afternoon games, you know, they had some weird stuff
Wednesday
go
night,
down.
Yeah.
So, but they were able to make it through, and they will make it through the season. The question is, will they make it through the season with full capacity, not full capacity, whatever. But I think you'll, and they've already set rules up. They're not moving games and stuff. If you have real problems, they're going to possibly forfeit whatever.
And I still think it's going to be a state by state because I can see California kind of restricting it, but Texas, nope. You know,
Missouri, no.
Right. So,
Florida, no.
Yeah, exactly. So to that point, I think it's going to be 100% capacity. Now, as it relates to us, you know, us doing our jobs or whatever, I don't think the teams really care more or less.
Oh, we'll be the first ones to go. They'll run us back to Zoom quickly. Because we get within, you know, a sniff of players. So this week was the first week that this began on Saturday, the first time that someone asked a coach or a player a question in the same
face-to-face
airspace of them. You know, the tent has them 6 to 8 feet or something from there, but that, you know, that hasn't happened. Every single thing, even the arrivals on Friday were Zooms, and everything last year was a Zoom, even at the Super Bowl. It was, you weren't in the room, right? So we've gotten to there. But they'll certainly kick us out before they kick fans out.
Yeah. Sterling, what you think?
I think, personally, we're going to have 100% fans. I think, like you said, there's going to be maybe some mask mandate to get in, but people probably aren't going to listen to it. It is outside, so they do have that going for them as far as the NFL as a whole. They lost too much money last year. The NFL cares more about money than safety, I would say. Take a look at player safety and how long that's been swept under the rug. I don't think the NFL is going to have any problem saying it's going to be up to the individual to make that decision. That's probably exactly along the lines of what they're going to say. That would be my best guess. One funny antidote I want to say right now is Kelvin Benjamin, former Chief, was trying out at tight end for the New York Giants, just got cut. First practice, didn't even take a snap. Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge came out. They got into a heated argument, and they had to walk him off the field.
They got into an argument with who?
Kelvin Benjamin, as they were cutting him, without letting him get one snap in.
How did they even? I mean, how did he even get?
Remember
to the
his era here was something. Or is it was
now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is the same Kelvin Benjamin that played
with
Jameis Winston.
Florida State
won a national.
And then first round draft pick.
Okay, I just want to. And then he
played
Panthers,
like Kent, and he got
hurt. He blew up, right?
He blew up, and so everyone joked that he should be a tight end. And he goes, "Well, maybe I will." And so he tried it and didn't last a single practice.
How did he make it to Kansas City? I don't remember.
He was here for just a smidge. I don't think it was all year, but it was after he came back from being hurt.
I think it was the year they won the Super Bowl.
He may have gotten a ring. You might be right about that.
Kelvin Benjamin may have gotten a ring.
Like, the name sounds real familiar. I'm like, it can't be the same guy from Florida State.
2018 season was when he was with Kansas City.
Okay, so the AFC Championship. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's okay.
I just wanted to lighten the conversation up and try and add something. I thought Kelvin Benjamin.
I don't know. You might have brought it down some more talking about Kelvin Benjamin and, See, now
he
I'm trying
Buffalo for a second.
Now I'm trying to picture how all this went down. Like, how did he check in and get a uniform and stuff, and then you cut him before he even has a chance to practice? Like, who does
this? Joe Judge and the GM Gettleman walking down.
On the field?
Yeah, on the field in front of everyone. I mean, that's just yikes. It's why they're the Giants. I mean, there's a reason why they're
Yeah, but
one
who
of
brought
worst.
Him in?
They did.
They did, yeah.
Maybe someone's writing with his paper or something. I don't know. It's, ugh. Well, could be worse. Now, you know, I thought about you, Sterling, and I was thinking about my guy Lance when we were, and I heard Saren mention on this show in the last hour, the Chiefs' offensive line. I know you're big on Creed Humphreys. I know, obviously Lee Boyce because he's an Oklahoma guy. But were you surprised that he was on? Well, I know you're not surprised, but more so Trey Smith because I thought
Smith's the surprise. Well, I guess we shouldn't be super surprised today because there's been a lot of buzz about him in the past month or so. But if you said on April whatever when they drafted him in the third day of the draft,
right,
and you knew that the doctor was coming back and all that, and they'd already signed Joe Tooney, you're like, well, I don't. This guy's not going to be lining up with the first team first day of practice. But everything's been great about him. I don't know if you watched that whatever. It's Jeff Schwartz, the former Chiefs lineman, does these videos with the linemen and, you know, where they get up on the board and they do all this stuff. Super impressive to watch this kid. It's like an 8 or 9 minute video I watched about a month ago of him up at the board. And, you know, he's got a good, nasty streak. That's one of the things he talked about this last weekend, you know. And so they've just been blown away by what he's been. So that's surprising. Creed Humphrey is not as surprising because, they had just brought in he's already second string.
Austin Blythe,
who had been a Ram, and he's just kind of a guy.
He's Austin Ryder with a different last name.
Yeah, you know, not quite Austin Ryder. So that's not as surprising. I mean, Humphrey was a very good player, played all the snaps at OU, and was picked. You pick a center in the second round, you're expecting he's going to play. But, anymore, maybe these guys will just go out there and play. I will also say don't freak out and write down anything in ink that you saw on the first day of practice.
Right.
No, we're all about overreactions. Whatever we saw is the exact thing that's going to happen.
One thing we've been talking about was obviously Lucas Niang on the right side, and he
started left tackle in the second team.
He looks good. I know Saren and a few other mentioned, you know, swing position where he can play either which is good because if anybody goes down, boom, you can just plug him right in.
Just for me, Trey Smith was not as big of a surprise once you heard even post-draft them saying as long as he was –
it was just me watching film on him.
Blood clots were fine. They basically said we thought he was a second, third-round value. And so we shouldn't be so surprised because, like you said, if you're an interior offensive lineman draft in the second or third round, you're almost expected to be a starter. And I also want to say LDT, it's not like LDT was some stud last time he played. Not only did he take a year off, he wasn't very good. His last time he was in Kansas.
I don't.
Well, last time he played, he did win a Super Bowl.
No, but
I don't think he has been as good after he hurt his leg. You know, that was a Sunday night game a few years ago against the Bengals, right? I think he got hurt in that game. And he came back. You know, at least he played the next year or whatever. But he just hasn't been quite as good. And I don't think on the first day of practice you put someone – out there who didn't participate last year. I mean, they need to see some more from him. But you're right. I mean, he wasn't a Pro Bowler when he played in 19. He was okay. He's been a nice story. He's a late-round draft pick who is more famous because he's a medical doctor, and he opted out for the reason he opted out for than his play on the field. He's been okay. He hasn't been someone who is outstanding, who's a Pro Bowler and who's, you know, warranting
must have
some like, you know, the Joe Tooney deal or something like that. He got re-signed here. It was one of the things
pretty
that Dorsey
large
did.
Contract
pretty
too.
Pretty large, but not like a Tooney large thing. You know, he was a guy. Here's a guy we know. We have a known value. Let's sign this guy and keep him because he is who he is.
And
that's what
he
was
contract.
Was like.
And I think personally, they would get out of his contract this year if they could, but it doesn't make any sense to until next year. I think that's also a possibility, but he's going to be on the team this year.
Yeah, and may not be starting. But you'd all be happy if he was the backup.
Sure.
Yeah.
That means Trey Smith obviously won.
He's very good,
too.
Yeah.
That means he obviously won the competition.
And obviously that's a good thing, you know, one, because of the value and so cheap or whatever, but also you know, the fact that, yeah, they were just at least in that rotation on day one. You know, I'm old school. If they put you, if they got you on the first team, you have to practice to play yourself out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know the issue with Niang. I know a lot of people were, you know, just looking at the man's size. You think, man, he's got to be able to crack that, you know, at least that right side. But again, Mike Remmers did a passable job last year and played both sides. So
much better on the right.
Yeah, and so, but again, if you, you know, but even if you plug him in, I mean, hell, you know. Lyman need breaks too. You know, I mean, somebody comes out, he can go right in. The one thing I will say that I love about this offensive line is they are just so damn huge. I mean, they are huge, man. I mean, I saw Lucas and Orlando just next to each other walking
Orlando's
up the hill yesterday.
Orlando's a monster, man.
God,
he's like, he's legit 6'7", 6'8". You put the cleats on him and the helmet on him,
6'9".
Then you're talking about like a 6'9" guy.
Yeah, that's a large man.
Big dude. And, you know, Eric Fisher was a big, strong guy. But he wasn't as tall looking as Orlando Brown, and Eric Fisher's probably stronger. Orlando Brown will tell you, he's not quite as athletic and as strong as he maybe needs to be. We're kind of talking like that on Monday on that Zoom. He's got some work to do in that way because his body type and how, you know, he needs to get lower, get leverage, and be strong like that. But he desperately wants to be a left tackle. You know, he wants to do this. This is like his dad wasn't a left tackle, he's a right tackle. He wants to do that and all that. So he wants to do it, and he seems driven. We'll see. I mean, this is the guy everyone wanted. Well, everyone maybe wanted Trent Williams, but if you couldn't get Trent Williams to come, then Orlando Brown's a big deal. And people wanted him to be – they want him to be the left tackle. That's what the Chiefs fandom wanted, and they went and got it. So now he's
and
got his
chance.
And
at his age, too. I mean, he's got 7 years on Trent Williams. I mean, if he's anything that he hopes and that we hope him to be.
Be a good deal. And, you know, Humphrey is a big kid, too. For
he's
a center,
like 6'5". Yeah,
he's a big kid because they were, you know, Ryder was kind of a little guy, and Blythe's kind of they're smaller guys. So he's a big kid. Their line is significantly larger than it was,
which is why I've always said, hey, if you're Patrick, he might look like Drew Brees back
too.
There.
Well, Clyde's about to be way happier, especially when they need to get 1 yard. We're not going to see any more Blake Bell screenplays, I don't think. I think we're going to see a lot more, all right, now we have the personnel. We can actually get 1 yard. We can actually do this. I do want to say, I think Lucas Niang, a lot of the reason they're having him as a swing is because he has the ability to play left tackle. Who else on this roster would you say if Orlando Brown, God forbid, gets hurt, who's going to take his role?
You don't want it to be Mike Remmers. We saw that.
and so I think part of it is maybe Lucas Niang might be the best right tackle, but he might be more valuable if he gets left tackle reps in a just-in-case situation. You know what Mike Remmers can do. Not good. You know what Andrew Wiley can do. Not great. Maybe Lucas is the insurance policy as a just-in-case, give him the most amount of snaps possible there.
No, I agree with you 1,000% on that. Now, I will say some other things that we saw in practice today. Cornell Powell, and, you know, look, I'm going to just call it a dude. I want him to play up to it, the general, because we keep wanting to say Colin Powell, you know,
right.
Before, and it's like, you know, but it's Cornell Powell.
Cornell.
And I just know that I'm just going to slow up on a Zoom or whatever, like, call him Colin. But he looked good. DeMarcus Robinson looked good. Actually, all the wide receivers looked good. Tyreek had a drop that people were like, ooh, like, can't believe you dropped. I was like, cut him. You know, because he's just like, how do you drop a pass from Patrick Mahomes?
You know, people talking about the depth chart of the wide receivers is maybe not the greatest looking thing because, you know, Sammy's not on the team anymore or whatever. But what they have outside of Powell, who's new, is they have a bunch of guys who – Patrick is comfortable with.
Yep.
Right? I mean, DeMarcus has been his guy since scout team.
Yep.
They've been here the whole time together. And I think he really likes, you know, Pringle makes some plays here and there, and he's going to be the guy who will go block.
Pringle ran with the first team.
He'll go block somebody, mm-hmm. You know, kind of what you'd see from Sammy sometimes, running someone down and blocking them. But they just don't have those numbers. But when you throw the ball to Tyreek Hill as often as you have, and you take, you know, Sammy was hurt like every year, hurt quite a bit, and no other teams have a tight end who catches like 100 balls either. There's just not, even though the Chiefs throw the ball a lot, you're not going to see all these guys with like 90 targets. It's just not going to happen when you don't have as many guys. Now, is Mecole Hardman going to step up and be what they think he can be? And I think he could be pretty good, but I think he is getting held to this standard that, why aren't you catching 1,300 yards like Tyreek Hill is? I mean, that's ridiculous. He's been okay, right? But he's been especially okay when the fact that Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce were on this team. What's he supposed to do, right? They were paying one guy a whole bunch of money, and then they got the two guys who were at the, if not the best, in the top 3-4 of their position in the league. It's hard to kind of break into that thing. I think this is obviously, he said this Monday, yeah. It's a big year for him. He knows it's a big year for him, right? He's a second-round pick, so he's got another year left on his deal after this. But if you want to go be someone who can go get that bag for that, you know, next deal, you better go do something.
Well, and that's the other thing too. He needs to have a good year this year so the team can try to sign him on an extension this year versus next
year,
before
where he becomes a free agent. Yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, again, Powell, you know, if it is very important to have consistency, to have receiver that you are familiar with. I do think, which is a plus as well as a curse if you talk to DeMarcus Robinson, is that the good thing with Patrick is that he's not afraid to spread the ball around. Now, it will hurt players outside of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce when it comes to numbers, and if you're looking to hopefully get a bonus or hit something, it might be harder for them. But because there is no Sammy Watkins this year, it does give someone an opportunity to step up and fill that void to where, okay, if somebody's gonna, because if I'm a defense right now, I'm a double Tyreek, and I'm gonna have a spy or someone focused solely on Travis Kelce. Now, what's that second receiver gonna do on the opposite end of it? If whether it's Pringle, but Robinson as well as McCall Harmon. I mean, you have an opportunity to put your stamp and, you know, put yourself on the map here with the Chiefs in the NFL.
I mean, I think Andy Reid would be happy if someone stepped up and ran away with that other wide receiver spot. I think it's because no one has shown consistency time and time again. Mecole Hardman has shown glimpses, but we've also seen him be the most consistent guy off target with Patrick Mahomes. We've seen DeMarcus Robinson show glimpses, but not in a 3-4-5 game stretch. So,
the
spot's there. If D-Rob wants to get that spot and get a lot more targets and hit his numbers, he has the chance to do it. He just got to have some sort of consistency.
I mean, I agree, but the only pushback I say is that it is still hard because I've had this conversation with DeMarcus to where you can't get certain numbers because Patrick is trying to spread the ball around and to keep everyone on, which, I mean, obviously, if you're spreading the ball around, it's hard for a defense to zone in on one particular person. But if you're, you know, but you got to understand, wide receivers, they're divas in their own manner, where they want to get the ball so they can have their numbers and, you know, make Pro Bowls, All Pro stuff like that. Patrick is obviously trying to win, but Patrick will focus on Tyreek. He will focus on Kelce so they can get their numbers, and then everybody else, okay, I'll get you the ball, but you got to do something with it once I get it to you.
It's not because they can get their numbers. It's because they're open. It's because they're good. It's because they have consistency. You're not going to force feed a guy.
Well, Travis is not always wide open.
But he's going to come down with it.
Well, you throw who you trust. Yeah. Okay, that's the way it works. I think part of the problem that we have around here as fans of the Chiefs is that people are holding this like this insane standard. I'm looking up these wide receivers who were picked in Mecole Hardman's draft. So people always compare it to DK Metcalf because DK Metcalf got picked later. Okay, so DK Metcalf's a freak. And A.J. Brown got picked before him. Okay?
What about Terry McLaughlin?
I'm going to read you the wide receivers who got picked in and around. So the only first-rounder the first first-rounder we picked was Marquise Brown. He's been okay for the Ravens.
Hollywood.
Okay, he's been okay. Hollywood. But, I mean, you know, and he's got Lamar Jackson throwing to him. His numbers are fine. They're not insanely better than Mecole Hardman's, though. N'Keal Harry for the Patriots.
Bust.
Okay. He was picked well before, and A.J. Brown was picked a little bit before. So then it goes Mecole Hardman. And then after Mecole Hardman, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
He's been very underwhelming for
Underwhelming.
The
Paris Campbell.
He's been okay for the Colts.
Underwhelming. Andy Isabella.
Is that for the Arizona Cardinals?
So are you excited about him?
No.
And his 400 yards and three touchdowns in 2 years? So that's my point. I think everyone.
Yeah, but Mecole
Hardman
going,
has been.
Keep going.
DK Metcalf. That's
and then,
it.
And then, no, for Washington, Terry McLaughlin. Not McLaughlin. I always. Not the singer who sings sad songs about dying dogs, but the one.
But my point is this: it's not like every single Terry McLaurin
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, he had 900 yards 1 year, 1,000 the other year. Okay, does who else plays for that team?
Yeah. Look at who was throwing the ball, Dwayne Haskins.
That's my point, though. If you put Mecole Hardman on that team, he might have those numbers. If you put this guy on the Chiefs, is he going to have 900 yards across from Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce?
He's probably more consistent. No. I'm not hating on Mecole Hardman. I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is he's okay.
He's very okay.
He's not a bust. Don't tell
you. He's not a bust.
Paris Campbell has 198 yards in two seasons for the Colts.
Sure.
198 yards. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has 254 yards in two seasons.
But I don't want him to be those two guys.
No, you don't. I mean, you'd like him to be DK Metcalf or whatever.
No,
but
I want him to be. I want him to show more consistency. That's all I care about. I don't expect
people
him to be
get madder.
Kill.
Don't people get madder at him because he messes up the punt returns more than anything?
Sure.
I mean, how mad at him do you get for anything he does during the actual football plays as a wide receiver? Not very mad.
I don't even get mad at him with the punt. I just get frustrated, like, you did all this and you only got 3 yards.
You fumble the ball. Oh, yeah. Or, you know, when they throw Tyreek Hill back there now, he runs backwards because he thinks he's always going to hit a home run when he's back there. What did he do last year returning kicks when they put him back there? He ran backwards and made bad plays.
Put no one back there because the offense is so good. It doesn't matter what field position you're in.
Just tell someone
to
catch the ball and do it. My point about Hardman is I think we're holding him to an insane standard.
Well, again, what you got to remember? When they drafted him, they had expectations that they didn't think Tyreek was going to be.
Yeah, they thought Tyreek was gone.
Exactly.
So
he's living up to expectations that he wasn't, that he wasn't prepared
for.
Because I've asked him, how would you grade yourself last year? He said he graded himself. I think he said
C minus or something.
And has acknowledged where he needs to improve. When he talked to us Monday, he said he felt that, he needed to improve the route tree and better communications and, build a rapport with Patrick that he felt that he could get in training camp. It looked that way today that, they were on the same page a lot, during their practice today. So, I mean, to whom much is given, much is expected. I mean, so he's going to want a big contract.
Well, he's going to have to do something for that. If he goes and gets 500 yards this year and 4 touchdowns, he's not going to get a big contract.
He's not going to. But, again, you can play yourself into a big contract. You can play yourself out of one.
He's got a real opportunity this year.
And it doesn't get any better because you don't have one unless Andy has already just cemented on who his initial starting wide receivers are. He has a chance to play his way in there or practice his way in there and improve throughout camp, just like, we talked about the rookies. That this is his to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he does that, then, we'll get a chance to see what happens when the season begins, because I do believe that teams are going to want to make Kansas City and Patrick beat them with their second wide receiver. They understand Hill's going to get his numbers regardless sometime throughout the game. He might get a big play, might break it open. Kelce will get his as well. But if anybody's going to beat us, it's going to be Patrick beating us with the second and third wide receiver.
Yeah, it'll be big to see if they can get that part of it done.
We'll take a quick break. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
You know what it is?
Kind of stumped me on this one.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, joined by Todd Lebo. Don't Shazam it.
No, I'm not going to Shazam it.
You can't Shazam
you were said
it.
You were going to play some Slipknot. That's not Slipknot.
I told you I'm not playing. Darren would have an aneurysm if I played Slipknot.
I don't know this one. I don't know it.
Sound
really?
Like Prince.
Their voice sounds like Prince.
Muse.
Oh, Muse, yeah.
This was one of the first songs that got really popular from Muse.
I know the other one. What's it, Starlight, or what's the one called?
Knights of Sidonia, Uprising.
Uprising, I think.
They had a lot. Like 2011, they were huge.
Muse.
They were the other headliner at Canroxis when Eminem was the other headliner.
I was at the Eminem night.
I went to both. My dad and I, we stayed in a tent.
Oh, you slept out there.
We slept there. It was cool. It was junior year high school. It was sweet. Eminem.
Just a kid.
I know nothing about
Girl
that.
Girl talk.
That wasn't the whole Brandmeier thing, was it?
Yeah.
It was that. Yeah. It was sweet. We should ask him more about that. I don't know.
No,
if that's
I don't
good
know if he should.
Is that bad?
You go Flaming Lips. You go to the
Flaming Lips. They're there.
That was great. I've seen Flaming Lips so many times. Flaming Lips. When I was in college, they were the local Norman High School or Norman, Oklahoma band. They're from Oklahoma City. Norman. I saw them in college like 4 or 5 times at just bars. Wild, man. They went wild.
Well, Cage the Elephant, I've seen a few times. When they had their first album, I saw them at the Beaumont Club, a place that's no longer around.
Is it Char Bar now?
I don't know if it's anything anymore.
I don't know.
But it's the Beaumont Club, and that was cool because
I got to ask this question because it's been. Now, you grew up in Independence, correct?
I did, yes.
Okay. How did you end up at the University of Oklahoma?
My dad is from Oklahoma, Cleveland, Oklahoma, which is a huge metropolis, not really, outside of Tulsa. So I always grew up being an Oklahoma fan. And so when it came time to go to school, I was either going to go to Mizzou or Oklahoma.
You wanted to win.
And I wanted to go watch winning. So when I went to college in the fall of 88, the last basketball game Oklahoma had played was the loss to Kansas in Allen Fieldhouse East over here. And then when they got screwed over by having to play them in Kansas City. And then the last football game they played was in the Orange Bowl against Miami for the quote-unquote mythical national title. So they were the top of the game in both when I went to school. And
I missed that phrase, too, by the way.
By the end, you like that?
Mythical.
Mythical.
I used to love that.
My freshman year, December of my freshman year, I think the day before or the day after, I went back for Christmas break. They got put on probation. 3 years probation, 1 year no television at all, no live TV, 2 years no bowls, okay? So we were cheating, right? Come back from break in January. Within about 3 or 4 weeks, there was one of the football players, Jerry Parks, shot his friend, Zarek Peters, in the chest with a .22, didn't kill him, but that's a bad thing. Don't go shooting someone. And then there was a gang rape. In the dorms, the
athlete dorms.
Wasn't
that the stuff that Barry Switz was supposed to be hiding and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
geez.
Then that gang rape happened, and they had a trial that happened later, and then two of the guys went to jail, whatever. And then Charles Thompson, the quarterback, got caught selling cocaine to the FBI undercovers, and that's where you see that SI with the orange jumpsuit, him getting out of the car. So that was my freshman year. And then in about May, after school was out, Barry Switzer had to quit. So that was it. And then it was
should've
like football went down. Well, we were still number one in basketball in 89 and 90. Had one seeds both times. Of course, didn't go to the Final Four. Lost. I got to watch Mookie Blaylock and Stacey King and Skeeter Henry and all those guys. I saw a lot of really good football players, too.
Bosworth was already gone from there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was gone. So I could have gone to Mizzou. You can go check those records and see how they were, even though 7-4 wasn't very good for Oklahoma.
During that time.
Yeah, we had some wars with Missouri. AP, Anthony Peeler, Javon Crudup, Doug Smith, Byron Irvin, Nathan Bunton. No matter how terrible the officiating is, please don't throw things in the court. I was there freshman year.
Throwing things on the court?
Nope. Wasn't throwing things on the court. So we whipped Kansas butt all the time when I was in school in basketball.
Except missed the Keon Dooling Mizzou
period. Yeah, he was already gone. He wasn't there yet. He was a kid. So that's why I went to school there.
Before we get you out of
the
I think this was breaking kind of after you were on the show last week. No, you weren't on the show last week because you were on vacation, weren't you?
Yeah, I was gone.
Your thoughts on OU, Texas, trying to get out of the Big 12, go to the SEC?
I mean, it's dirty business. They've obviously lied and cheated and done this all behind closed doors. But that's the world we're living in now.
I don't think, baby.
Yeah, I think it is – what they feel it's a smart thing to do, because I think they see the writing on the wall that there's more money to be made there, and they think maybe there's going to be a move towards bigger conferences. I don't like it as a Kansas City, and I think it's bad for Kansas City, you know?
What happens to the Big 12?
I think right now, you asked me today, they're going to all try to scramble together and make this thing work. But if anything happens, they'll all just run. So it's not great.
If KU goes somewhere, it's gone.
It's on life support now.
No way you're going to tell me Iowa State is going to be a draw.
Yeah, would they still be considered one of the autonomous five? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. But I mean, maybe the SEC is going to 24. I don't know. Maybe they're making their own league.
How they're trying to have, or the ACC was considering like trying to join? There's rumblings all around of how multiple conferences may try joining up.
Oh, they may. I mean, there's lots of stuff going on, man. It's not over. It's wild. We did this 10 years ago, and we're doing it again. So
is it safe to say Mizzou was right?
I don't know if they were right or wrong, but they're part of the problem. Had they not done that, these things wouldn't be happening.
Well, Colorado started it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all goes back to all kinds of trouble, but.
Well, Todd, we know you got to go and join the Royal Zoom.
I get on that Zoom.
Probably get on it afterwards. And it's funny, I was telling Steve I really want to go to a Rose game and watch the Rose. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so I said,
no,
yeah,
hot.
Can't do
no,
that.
So, no, hot. Yeah. Not going.
Yeah, didn't want to leave Sterling here all by his lonesome.
Baseball tonight on Sports Radio 810 tonight. You can tune in and listen to that at 6 o'clock. Normally you'd get to hear Sterling, but he says he won't do that.
I can't tonight. I do mind. I have a basketball game tonight. I give you one more song and
see
if you can get it.
See where his priorities
That's
are?
Last night by the Strokes.
His priorities is not the station. He's talking about basketball at a local YMCA gym.
It's not. It's at Kemper, Hy-Vee Arena. Put up 23 last game. Just for you, Todd.
Thank you.
I don't know what Lico's doing right now. Is he on a Zoom right now?
I got to go.
Oh, he's on a Zoom.
He said he's got to go.
All right, I guess we're going to take a break.
The Strokes last night.
Yeah, you nailed it. We're going to go. Lebo's got to take a break. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Oh, Darren is getting into it right now. You do not want to see what's happening. This is Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City. Thank you to Todd Lebo. Coming on the show. He's got to do some Zooms with the Royals, so he couldn't stay on for the last, 10 minutes.
I got to do it too, but, I let the show take precedence.
I have it too, actually, on my phone. I get the notifications. Yeah. But I don't really feel like doing it. We should listen to Prince.
I got no qualms with that, my friend. None whatsoever.
I was going to say, I do want to say really quickly some big trades that have happened right now. One of the biggest ones for the Major League Baseball trade deadline is Starling Marte going from the Miami Marlins to the Oakland Athletics for Jesus Luzardo. Luzardo is a top left-handed pitching prospect. Huge trade, pretty big so far. One of the biggest ones we've seen. Obviously, Nelson Cruz going to Tampa Bay was big, but this may have some more long-term effects in that deal. So that was one big trade to watch out for. Darren, you should have listened to me last night. You didn't. You could have won some money. Why did you go against me?
One, they had won six games in a row.
Bullpen was overtaxed.
Hold on. They should have kept Keller in there. He was doing just fine. The thing is, at the end of the day, they were up 3-1. Look, when I looked at my phone and when I sent you the text,
sure,
it was top of the eighth.
It was 3-1.
And I looked at it, I'm like, 3-1. Okay, cool. So I ended up going to the casino last night. I'm like, damn, let me check see what the baseball score is. I looked, I'm like, 5-3, what the? I was like, you saw what I text you. I was like, these mofos are just, I just can't stand them sometimes, man. And it's funny, I'm talking to Steve, I'm like, man, because we were talking about him, I was asking if he was going to Sporting Kansas City or Royals or whatever, because they hadn't been there since like the opening weekend and stuff like that. I'm like, I need to get out to another Royals game. Just one, watching, their comeback win Saturday kind of made me a little bit more exciting. Of course, I don't do heat. I would do the 1 o'clock game tomorrow, but I don't want to rush back from St. Joe to go to the game and then be, it's hot. When it's hot and humid, I get a real bad attitude and I'm not fun to be around. And so I'd rather not. But I think the next home series or homestand that they have some night game, I'm probably going to go. So, well, because I know I'm going to go. I think the night that you said you and your girl are going to go out there, I'll probably just catch up with you.
August 14th or something like that against the Cards, whenever the Cardinals come to town.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that game and I'm going to come and I'm going to mooch off of you. I'm like, Sterling, buy me some food.
I ain't buying you bleep, Darren.
Don't buy me something.
No,
I still think you owe me something. For some reason,
uh-uh.
There was a bet. No. You supposed to bet. No, there was a dollar bet I won from you. That you were supposed to make a bet for.
We already did it. You lost.
Not the dollar bet.
You gave me it. You lost. It's for the NBA Finals.
Might have been. Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll let that slide. But
Brad Keller did pitch great last night. 7 innings, 1 run.
Yeah, I'm saying so.
Starting pitching's been solid. That's not been the problem. But
so again, because they won the game.
No Barlow.
Huh?
Barlow pitched 2 innings the night before.
Yeah.
He wasn't pitching tonight. That bullpen's... Stalmont's fine. Zimmer's been okay. Brent's has been good, but Brent's given up 2 runs. Sure, that was a surprise. you know, you got to go with the odds here. That was a game that if the Royals were going to blow, they were going to blow when their best bullpen piece is not pitching.
Or, just, I mean, if your pitcher's doing well, let them complete the game. You know, I mean, and
you're playing with fire when you're going Brad Keller more in seven innings.
I get that, but I'm saying, but he's playing well. I mean, the thing is, you pull him and you lose the game anyway. I mean, at least if he, you know, if he had gave up six runs early on, okay, I get it. You pull him, but to play that well, and I don't know if we talked about this on the show before or not, but. Pitchers don't usually do complete games much anymore, which is disappointing.
The numbers say third time through the order is when they see the largest spike as far as the opposing team getting hits off you, let alone four times through the order. So Keller didn't have much of a shot there. We'll never know. It does suck. But you will still see some of the very elite pitchers. You'll still see Lance Lynn go out there and throw 8-9 innings. You'll still go out and see DeGrom, when he's not on the IL, go out there and throw 8-9 innings. You'll see Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, Max Scherzer. They'll still go out and do it, but now instead of having the, you know, two guys or three guys on a team that may give you 7-plus innings, you know, rotation, it's about one guy now. The numbers show the bullpens – when you see a guy who throws 100 coming out of the bullpen, you only get to face him one time instead of seeing a guy you've seen twice already. The numbers in the bullpen's favor, and that's what managers are doing. They're just using the numbers that they have. I agree, it's not as aesthetically pleasing, but it is what it is.
The Royals, of course, a game three tonight against the White Sox at 7:10, fourth game to close out the series tomorrow, 1:10, of course, we'll be on the air at 3 o'clock, and we'll just give you an update throughout the game. But, Sterling, before we get out of here, it looks as though, you know, your old team, Philadelphia 76ers, look like they finally got Ben Simmons on board with possibly being traded out of there. What do you think about that?
I think it's time. I think you can't have a performance like you had, a historically crumbling performance like Ben Simmons had, and expect to not have any changes. I blame Doc Rivers if you want for keeping him in there, but at the end of the day, you are a All-Star, a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. You were
first team All Defense. Player runner up.
And if you can't show enough value to stay on the floor when your team needs you, you can't go and work on your jump shot after 3 years ago. You said this hack of Ben Simmons ain't gonna fly anymore, and 3 years later, in a moment where you could put that to rest. It's the reason your team loses. I don't know if he has the want to. I don't know if he has the heart. I don't know if it's the Sixers front office, if they can't get him working. But at some point,
I don't think he's ever had that true love of the game. I think he likes the money. Yep. I think he likes the adulation that comes with playing in the NBA and, you know, some of the fame and fortune or whatever. But I don't think he really has that je ne sais quoi when it comes to, you know, wanting to be great at his sport. I think because he's always been told yes growing up, he's always been the biggest guy, you know, 6'10 or whatever, playing a position that, you know, was the leader. You know, he's just been the best talent there. And now that, you know, he's in a league that you need to shoot, you need to be able to shoot, and he's never really worked in it. Because now I think about it, I mean, he shot a couple of threes when he was at LSU, but he never really focused on it. He was always being able to just drive down the hill. It's just, I mean, I think it's time. And the question would be is what can Philly get for him?
You can still get a lot from it. The key is the Sixers are built around Embiid. And having Simmons and Embiid on the floor together just did not work. I think other teams could use Ben Simmons in a different role.
But the problem is that, well, no matter where he goes,
he still needs to shoot.
But I'm saying he's still because what you have, because now you end up having a 5-on-4 because, you know, this guy's never going
to
shoot.
Sure, but I just, for example, the team that just came to mind right now, you put him on Golden State with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, surround him with shooters like that and let him be your facilitator, because he's a good facilitator. There's no denying Ben Simmons is a good facilitator.
So you say it moves Steph to the 2 and then Klay to the 3?
However you want to do it on paper, I'm more thinking of it as a amorphous blob, position-wise, positionless basketball.
I hadn't heard it.
Well, Simmons will be playing basically the 5 on defense, and he's going to be your facilitator on offense, whatever you want to call it. But Simmons would be able to play the 4, the 5 on defense. If you want to do that, small death lineup they had with Andre Iguodala, because Iguodala couldn't shoot free throws either, by the way. He hit two clutch ones, but he couldn't shoot consistently. He shot, I think, 40%, 45%. I'm just saying, if you want that, that seems smart to me. Obviously, the Sixers don't want James Wiseman. Makes no sense to get on another big man. But maybe Wiggins and a whole bunch of draft picks.
For some reason, they don't seem to want Wiggins. I'm like, well, he played. You know, he was teammate.
I mean, I don't really want Wiggins either. But I'm just saying, you gotta have some contracts match up. But it would be a lot of draft picks they'd be sitting towards.
One thing we will do, just give you a heads up, I believe we'll probably have Steve Walls on with us tomorrow. Because since we're both covering training camp, we'll start our training camp focus and stuff on the show. But also, we got the NBA draft coming on tomorrow night. So I know that's going to be on 8:10. So we'll preview that as well. And quickly, Simone Biles, she bowed out of the individual competition. Your thoughts?
Again, I think it's just a Rick Ankiel, Chuck Knobloch. I think it's a case of Ben Simmons where you're just so overwhelmed. You get in your head. You can't overcome it. And it becomes a mental and physical block. When you're in a sport like gymnastics where if anything goes wrong, you could break your neck. You can get seriously injured. It's smart. I think it's smart.
Well, the one thing, like I said, because she dropped out of this, I'm fine with her reasoning. Because I told you how I felt. If she were to compete, I'd have questions about that. But we'll talk about all that and more on tomorrow's show. For Sterling, for Ty Lebo, Darren Smith, Darren Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City. We are out.